electric cars may not reverse climate change, but they are important symbols that we're serious about the problem. So let's talk more about symbols, particularly that sad symbol of global warming, the polar bear, desperately in search of sea ice. Our next guest says that image is the wrong one. Rashad Morris is with Seattle's Bullitt Foundation. He is in Paris, also in Paris at the UN Climate Talks, and he says environmentalism in Seattle and around the world has got to get beyond the polar bear.
The polar bear is a significant image. It's important. There are really some serious impacts to lots of species around the world when it comes to climate change. But the challenge with that particular image is that it focuses on a rather antiquated view of environmentalism, which is based on the premise that environmentalism is about saving species and land as opposed to the impacts that environmental degradation has on human beings.
But, you know, I think some people might be thinking to themselves, you know, but polar bears are so cute, and my kids got a stuffed polar bear, and maybe the right word is charismatic and not cute, I don't know. But what's a better image, do you think, for climate activists to rally around in 2015?
One could be the farm worker in the fields who is laboring underneath 110-degree weather and not able to actually harvest any crops because the crops are all dried or shriveled, or because of the change in growing seasons, there's essentially nothing there. Another image might be the elderly person stuck in their urban apartment with no air conditioning. Images like that, or the real issues that are facing human beings. Of course, the polar bear is a cute and charismatic animal, but the environment is about so much more than just species that are thousands and thousands of miles away from most human civilizations. Climate is having a significant impact on everyday people, whether they're in urban environments or if they're in rural environments. And so that's, I think, part of the shift that we need to make in our thinking about and our conception of environmentalism.
What do you think needs to happen differently here in Seattle? How do people in Seattle and Washington State need to rethink environmentalism as a social justice issue?
There is an initiative that the city of Seattle promoted just earlier this year with the support of a number of philanthropic funders, including the Bullitt Foundation, that focuses on bringing in some of the vulnerable communities that are being directly impacted by climate disruption. The idea behind this initiative, it's called the Equity and Environment Initiative, is to bring in communities of color, low-income people in Seattle, to have conversations with them about the impacts that they're directly facing when it comes to environmental degradation, toxic pollution, and climate change. We really need to connect with people directly in their daily lives. If we live more sustainably, if we consume less, if we're really thoughtful about the ways in which we travel and conduct our businesses, then we can have a healthier environment that not only preserves species like the polar bear, but also poor children suffering from asthma, or as I mentioned earlier, elderly folks who might be subject to heat exhaustion because of heat islands in urban environments.
So you're at the Paris Climate Talks right now, speaking with other environmentalists and world leaders, and I'm wondering just what's been happening on the social justice front.
Well, the wonderful thing about this particular conference of the parties is that indigenous people, low-income communities, rural communities, agricultural workers have come into Paris from around the world to talk about the direct issues that they're facing. You know, the Philippines had one of the largest hurricanes in history, Hurricane Haiyan. You have places around the world that are experiencing significant weather events, whether that's hurricanes like I just mentioned or the wildfires that happened in central and eastern Washington earlier this year. And so those voices, which really haven't been heard so much in previous conferences of the parties, are now speaking out loud and clear. And world leaders are starting to hear and recognize that if we're really going to generate the momentum and the power to make the environmental changes that we need to make, then we've got to address the needs of human beings who are suffering some of the worst consequences of climate change. So not only does it need to happen, fortunately, it actually is happening, and it's happening right now in Paris.
What kind of resistance have you seen to this idea of rethinking the environmental movement as a social justice issue?
I think that there's less of a rejection of the impacts that climate change and environmental degradation is having on people, and more an education and a dialogue that's happening. As I mentioned earlier, one of the processes that's happening in Seattle is that communities of color, representing about 30 different social justice organizations in Seattle, have come together to discuss the direct impacts that they're facing from climate change, and talking to the city and talking to other elected officials and city leaders about what they're seeing on the ground day to day. You know, when you think about the environment as a term, the definition is that space that surrounds us. It's not something that's way out there that you have to travel miles to go to see. It's your sidewalks, it's your neighborhoods, it's your parks. And so, fortunately, people are starting to recognize those connections and connecting the dots between environment and human health.
Bottom line, what happens if people in Seattle, people in Paris, people around the world don't start rethinking climate change as a social justice issue soon enough?
Climate change is a big problem. It's an existential problem for humanity. And in order for us to address that big problem, we've got to make it real for folks. We've got to communicate about climate change in a way that people can say, yes, these are the impacts that I'm facing. These are the impacts that future generations might face, human beings, not just the land and the critters. And so if we don't get there, if we don't really make sure that people are reincorporated into our conceptualism of the environment, then we really won't build a consensus and a political and a popular movement that says, yes, we must address this challenge because it's a human challenge.
You've been listening to Rashad Morris, the Energy, Industry, and Technology Program Officer at the Bullitt Foundation, the environmental organization based here in Seattle. Morris is in Paris attending the United Nations climate talks, and he talked with David Hyde.